Begin reading in verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this message tonight about peace, and I pray we would understand it. And we thank you, Lord, that you have given us as Christians the privilege to enjoy the peace of God, because we do have peace with God. We thank you, Lord, for the Word of God, which instructs us, and I pray that you'd help us to understand it tonight. We do pray for those who have needs, that you'd bless them tonight. We ask now, Lord, that you might guide us through this evening and this service, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, we spoke from Luke chapter 8, and we referenced or talked about the woman who had the issue of blood. And she had been that way for 12 years. And Jesus healed her, set her faith, and made her whole. And he said this, "Go in peace. Go in peace." You know, I believe from that we'll probably meet this lady in heaven. You might go down the streets of gold and say, you know, I'd like to see the lady that touched the hem of his garment. I'd like to meet her. I think she'll be there. Because I believe she not only accepted, she believed and the Lord healed her, but I also believe she put her faith in the Lord. And the Lord said, "Go in peace." Because really, there is no peace apart from knowing the Lord. And that's very important to know. True peace cannot be found or enjoyed apart from a personal relationship with the God of peace, and that is our Lord. The Bible says that man is naturally alienated from God. We are separated from God, and we actually are enemies of God. And the peace of God is not experienced by those who are enemies of God and alienated from the Lord. Now, the world talks about peace. They seek peace and all of that, but they will never know peace unless they know the Lord. So tonight I want to talk to you about peace. First of all, peace comes from God. True peace comes from God. The world cannot have peace. People cannot have peace unless they know the Lord, because true peace comes from God. The Bible says that God is peace, or He's the God of peace. He is called the God of peace. In Romans chapter 15, verse 33, it says, "Now the God of peace be with you all." Romans 16, verse 20, "And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly." It's interesting that even God brings about peace through strength. The God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. God's not a push around. You know, you don't push God around. God is strong. And God brings peace by bringing the enemy down. And in the world, that is. And so the God of peace is the Lord Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verse 9 says, "The God of peace shall be with you." 1 Thessalonians 5:23, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly." Hebrews 13, verse 20, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus." So God is a God of peace. He's called the God of peace. He's also called the Lord of peace. In 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 16, it says, "Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means." The Lord himself give you peace. The Lord of peace give you peace by all means in all ways. So by always by all means. He's also called not only the God of peace and the Lord of peace, he's called the Prince of peace. And Isaiah 9, verse 6 tells us that. That he is Wonderful Counselor, the Almighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He's the Prince of Peace. And so God is the God of peace, the Lord of peace, the Prince of Peace, and so peace comes from God. Also, peace is brought to us from the Lord. He's the one that brings peace to this world. He's the one that brings peace to our individual lives. He's the one that brings peace among people. He's the one that brings peace in churches. God is the God of peace, and He brings peace. The Bible says that Jesus is the author of peace. 1 Corinthians 14:33. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. I'm sure that many churches down through the years have needed to learn that, that God is not the God of confusion. God is the God of peace. He's the author, not of confusion, but He's the author of peace. He is also our peace. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14, for He is our peace. So if He is our peace, then you really don't have true peace unless you have Him, because He is our peace. He helps us experience peace. The Scripture says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And so peace comes from God. He's the God of peace, and He helps us to experience the peace that He has. Now, saying that, we need to add this, that the world cannot experience true peace. The Bible says that the world lies in wickedness. And Isaiah chapter 48, verse 22 says it like this, there is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. There is no peace unto the wicked. The Bible also says in Isaiah 57, verse 21, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Now, the wicked, the world, who do not know the Lord and do not care about the Scripture, do not love Him, they might act like they have peace. They might have all kinds of money and all kinds of things. They might build beautiful homes with plush surroundings. Their lawns might be manicured so that it's above what we can do. And, it might be just the greatest thing as far as physically speaking. They might live in palaces. But there is no peace, the Lord says, unless they know Jesus. Now, I'm not the one that says that. God does. God says there is no peace to the wicked. Isaiah 59. Turn with me there, if you will. Isaiah 59, verse 8. And we'll read some other verses as well. It's talking about Israel. And Israel wasn't doing as they were supposed to. They were sinning. And therefore, they did not experience peace. And Isaiah 59, verse, oh, by the way, Israel today, I'm pulling for the nation of Israel. They're under attack. I like to hear them interview the prime minister. I like to hear them today. I heard an interview of the mayor of Jerusalem. And they make sense. I mean, they talk the right way. But really, Israel will have no peace, because Israel hasn't received the Prince of Peace, and that's the Lord Jesus. They'll have no peace until He comes. But Isaiah 59 tells about Israel, and they weren't doing what is right. It says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, and He will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, your fingers with iniquity, your lips have spoken lies, your tongue hath muttered perverseness. Sounds like the United States, doesn't it? None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity, speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrice eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of the edge of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed beneath out breaketh out into a viper. Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hand. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity, wasting and destruction are in their paths, and the way of peace they know not. There is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace." God says you won't know peace unless you know the Lord and you know righteousness. And so the world doesn't experience peace. Peace comes from God, but the world doesn't experience peace because they don't know the Lord. Now, it is true, and the Bible makes it clear, that God wants His people to experience peace. All believers, the Bible says, has all believers have peace with God. Peace with God is made possible because of Jesus Christ. When you trust Jesus as your personal Savior, you accept Him as the answer for all of your sins. When Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, He died before I was ever born. All my sins at that time were future. He died for Earl McGuffey's sins. That meant every sin I would commit from birth until death, He died for it. And He said that if I would believe that gospel message about Him and what He did for me, He died, was buried, and rose again. If I'll believe that, He'll forgive me of all my sins. That doesn't mean that ones I committed up to the day I get saved. That means of all of them. They were all future when Jesus died. He died for every one of them. And so He forgives me of my sins. And therefore, I have peace with God. I can fellowship with Him because He died for my sins. I have peace with God. Now, we know that once we become a Christian, we're a child of God. And He becomes our Father. And we're His children. And He disciplines His own. And He doesn't discipline those that are not His. He'll judge them, but He doesn't discipline them as a child. But He disciplines His own. And we do things that are wrong. We sin sometimes. And because of that, we need a whipping from the Lord. But the Lord says that there is peace with God because of what Jesus did for us on the cross of Calvary. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. But all believers should experience not only peace with God, but they should experience the peace of God. And there's a difference. Peace with God, standing. Peace of God, experience. And that is, we should experience the peace of God in our hearts. The Bible says it like this in Philippians 4, verse 6. "Be careful," that means anxious for nothing, "but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." That's experience. God wants us to experience His peace. Now, remember, we started off with saying God is a God of peace. God of peace, Lord of peace, Prince of peace. There's peace in heaven. There's not war in heaven. There's not turmoil in heaven. There's not fighting in heaven. There's not disagreements in heaven. There's peace because God is the God of peace. And God says that He wants us to experience His peace in our life. And we can if we will let a request be made known to God. We'll bring the things that trouble us to the Lord, cast our care on Him because He cares for us. He said He'll give us peace. Colossians 3, verse 15 says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts." Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. There's a verse in Isaiah 26, and I'm sure you've probably heard it and remembered it from time to time. But it says this in Isaiah 26, verse 3. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Now that's talking about experience. That's talking about the peace of God. And God says, "I will keep you in perfect peace if your mind is stayed on me." Now, if we have our minds on troubles and trials, problems, and we're worried about that, we'll not experience the peace of God. But if we face the problem and we have our mind on the Lord, and the one who can solve the problem, that one to whom we can say nothing is too hard for Him, if we have our attention upon Him, He'll give us peace in the midst of trouble, in the midst of trials, in the midst of things that we don't know what to do about. The Lord will give us peace because we're trusting Him. And so God wants us to experience the peace of God. You can look at it like this. Jesus is at peace about our standing with Him and our present condition with Him and our future with Him. Jesus is at peace. He has said to the child of God, He has said this. He said, I promise you that I will make you like Jesus. Someday you'll be perfect like Him. We'll not be God, of course, but we'll be perfect like Him. We'll have a body like Him, and someday we will be like Him. And the Lord has promised that. Every child of God, God has promised that He will not only justified us, set us apart into Himself, sanctified us, but He has also glorified us. It's sure in His mind that those He saves, He also glorified. He'll give us a brand new body. We'll be like Jesus. Now, God's at peace about that. From this time to that time, God knows everything's going to be all right. Because He says in Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. God says, your problems, I can handle them. I'm at peace with it. And someday, it's going to be worth it all. Someday, it's all going to work out. And so the Lord is at peace about it. And God is just saying to us, why don't you be at peace about it? You know, just be at peace. Now, I'm not talking as somebody who never lacks peace. I sometimes lack peace. Sometimes I get aggravated. Sometimes I get upset. Sometimes I worry. Sometimes I'm just like you are. In fact, I'm always just like you are. A sinner saved by grace. But I do know this, that I should always be at peace because I know the Lord. And He's in charge and He'll handle the problems. He wants me to do what I can do and do what I'm supposed to do, but He wants me to trust Him. And so God is at peace about us. Why should we not be at peace about it? Also, all believers should be at peace with each other. Not only should we be at peace because we're trusting the Lord, but we should be at peace with each other. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. We'll also read some verses to get the context. We're beginning in verse 12. Says, put on therefore, Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, vows of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is love, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful. God says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. But the peace of God comes after we do what God wants us to do. The peace of God comes after we obey Him. And so God says, put on bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. So God wants us to treat each other right. God wants us to be kind to one another, be forgiving of one another, be long-suffering one to another. God wants us to be all these things. And then He says, if we're that, we'll experience the peace of God. So God says not only we're to have peace in our own hearts about the things we face, we're to have the peace of God, but we're also to have the peace of God among each other. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, or chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. He says this to the Corinthians. Remember, the Corinthians weren't the best church. They had problems. But the Lord says to them, and through Paul in the last part of the chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect, that's mature, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Live in peace. Remember what Jesus said to the lady in Luke 8, from this morning's message. We referred to it a while ago. After he healed her, she'd been 12 years under this heavy burden of isolation, sickness, and she didn't get better, she got worse. And Jesus said to her, go in peace. Go in peace. God wants us to live in peace. Remember, before we can have peace with God, we must trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. We must accept Him as our Savior. And the peace with God will also, through obedience, will turn into the peace of God in our life. And if Ron has peace, and Howard has peace, and Greg has peace, and Gary has peace, and Ernie has peace in their own hearts, they're not anxious, they're not worried, they're not troubled. And then we add the ladies in the congregation to that mix and all the rest of you. If we all are at peace with God and enjoying the peace of God, I'll guarantee you we'll have peace among each other. We'll have peace among each other. And God wants that. God wants us to enjoy the peace of God. I believe that's one thing that marks our church off and sort of makes us maybe a little different than some. I'm not saying all. There's a lot of good churches. But we've experienced the peace of God in our midst. People love each other. People are kind to each other. People are long-suffering to each other. People are forgiving of each other. And it seems like we have that bond that the Lord has given us. And it's peace. But it's peace that comes by obeying the Lord and doing what's right and keeping ourselves where God wants us to be so that when we're together, that we have the peace of God. And God wants us to continue that. And I'll guarantee you the devil will do whatever he can to tear that peace apart. But then let's look at something else about peace. The world will never know peace until the Prince of Peace rules in this world. Now, I'm going to read some verses, and I'd like for you to follow with me, if you will. We'll go back to the Old Testament to start with, and it's in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7. In verse 6, it says that He's the Almighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And then it says in verse 7, of the increase of His government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon His kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. There will come a time in this world when there will be peace. There won't be any rockets flying from Gaza to Israel. There won't be any attempts to Israel to stop the rockets. There won't be necessity for Israel to bomb the tunnels that the Palestinians have made across under earth, you know, to kidnap children and other people so they can hold them for ransom. There won't be any of that because there will be peace on this earth. Russia won't be rattling its armor. Russia won't be moving against other countries. None of that will happen. China won't be a force. None of this will happen. All of it will be at peace. You might say that's impossible. No, it is possible because Jesus is going to make it happen. And so the Prince of Peace will take charge. And the increase of His government and peace, there shall be no end. Now look at chapter 11. Isaiah 11. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And shall make him a quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. Now you can't imagine a wolf dwelling with a lamb. The wolf's instinct is to eat the lamb. But the day will come in this earth, and I really believe it, that God will make it so peaceful in this earth that animals won't eat each other. And it says, and the leper shall lie down with the kid, and the calf, and the young lion, and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. A little child leading around a lion. It's going to happen. And the cow and the bear shall feed, and their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. This is not just poetry. This is truth. And God says it'll happen. And the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. Those are on the viper's den. And they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. I might ask you tonight, why is it that the earth doesn't experience peace? Because they don't want the knowledge of the Lord. They reject the knowledge of the Lord. But the day will come when the knowledge of the Lord will go all over all the world. Jesus will reign and there will be peace. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people, for it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of the people, which shall be left from Assyria and Egypt and Pathros and Cush and Elam and Shinar and Hamath and from the islands of the sea. The Lord's going to gather together all his people, the children of Israel. And there is going to be peace. Turn with me in the Bible to Zechariah, the next to the last book in the Old Testament, right before Malachi. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 10. And it says, "And I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace unto the heathen. And his dominion shall be from sea even to sea, and from the river even to the ends of the earth." There will be peace on this earth. Now, how's it going to happen? Well, we'd like to say, we'd like to have peace through dialogue. Peace through the sitting down at the peace table, coming up with decisions and all that. That's not the way Jesus will do it. Jesus will not bring peace that way. Jesus will bring peace when he comes from heaven. And he will set up his kingdom. After he has taken us out, we'll be taken out of this earth by the rapture. And then following the rapture will be the 7-year tribulation period where God will bring great judgments upon the earth. And then the Lord will come from heaven with us. We will come back with him to the earth, and he will destroy his enemies. He will set up peace by destroying everybody that's against peace. Everybody that's against him, everybody that's against righteousness will go. He will destroy them. And the Lord will set up peace. Look with me in Revelation chapter 20. "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand." Well, right before that, I forgot to mention that in chapter 11, I'd mentioned it, but didn't read it. But in chapter 19, right before chapter 20, that the Lord comes back from heaven, as we said, and he'll destroy all of his enemies. And all of them will be dead. The Antichrist, all of his armies, all those who do not know the Lord, everybody at the end of the tribulation after the Lord destroys them all will be believers in Jesus Christ, saved during the tribulation period. Immortal bodies getting ready to populate the new kingdom age that's coming when Jesus sets up his kingdom. But before Jesus does that, he will take care of the one who marshals all the forces against the Lord, and that's the devil. And says, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, it must be loosed a little season." So for 1,000 years, the Lord's going to rule in peace on this earth, but before he does, he will destroy all those who will not obey him. And he will put in the bottomless pit the devil and chain him up, and he'll be there for 1,000 years. So that for that 1,000 years, there will be peace. Now, he'll reign in righteousness. Let's go back to our Bibles in Psalms, Psalm 72. And we'll look at some of the verses that speak of him reigning. Psalm 72, verse 2. "He shall judge thy people with righteousness and thy poor with judgment. The mountains shall bring peace to the people, and the little hills by righteousness. And so the Lord is going to bring peace. Psalm 85, verse 10, also speaks of that time. It says, mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. You see, there's a key to peace, and that is you have to have righteousness. You have to have righteousness. And the God of peace, who is a holy God, brings peace to this earth when there's righteousness. And so the Lord will bring righteousness upon this earth, and things will be done right because He's in charge, He's the King, and He'll make sure this is done righteously. And so there will be peace because there will be righteousness. And in this language, in verse 10, he says, righteousness and peace have kissed each other. There's a harmony between righteousness and peace during the millennial reign of Jesus. In Isaiah 32, it also speaks of that. And let me read that. Isaiah 32, verse 17. It says, and the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation and in sure dwellings and in quiet resting places. Romans chapter 14, verse 17 says, for the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And so there will be peace on all this earth, because the Prince of Peace will assure it. Now, tonight we've gone through a study of peace in a way, that it comes from God, it's never experienced by people who don't know the Lord, but it is experienced by Christians, and they can experience on an even heightened level as they obey the Lord. Righteousness goes along with it. And so if we live right, we do right, we'll have the peace of God. If we trust Him, we'll have the peace of God. If we keep our minds on Him, we'll have the peace of God. There's coming a day when the world's going to have peace, but it's going to take God destroying all those who will not have it. Now, until that time, and that's at least 7 years off, the Lord comes back tonight, 7 years tribulation, and then 1,000 years reign of Christ. And so, until that time, we can introduce people to the Lord Jesus Christ and cause them to begin to enjoy the peace of God. Let's close by looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And the Lord tells us about our role in this world that does not have peace. We can bring people to a place where they'll have peace with God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 says, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. So the Lord died for us so that we could have peace. And when we tell people about Jesus and they trust Jesus as their Savior, they can have the peace of God. And it's so good to know the peace of the Lord. I know you've faced problems in your life, as all of us do. But God does want us to deal with those problems in peace. We as Christians should not be people who fly off the handle. We shouldn't be people who just act out of the spur of the moment. We should be people who experience God's peace in the midst of the trial. You remember recently we were preaching through Luke, and we found Jesus in the boat, and there was a storm came. And He was at peace. The people on the boat were in turmoil, but He was at peace. He didn't worry about it. There's nothing to worry about. He was on board, and so He was at peace. And so when He got up, they woke Him and said, Lord, don't you care that we perish? He first of all told them, oh, ye of little faith. And then He rebuked the wind. He took care of the storm. But He first of all said, you have little faith. In other words, if you believe Me, there's no reason to worry. You can have the peace of God. May God give us His peace. Let's pray. Father, thank You for allowing us to see the peace of God in the Scripture. And I pray, Lord, that You might help us to experience Your peace every day because we trust You. Regardless what might come in life, we know that You're in charge and You can handle it and You can take care of it, and we trust You. Lord, I pray that we might be people of peace. And we pray that in this world of turmoil, that we'll be just like an island of refreshment as people see us calm and trusting You. We confess, Lord, that sometimes we don't, but I pray that we will, that we'll trust You in the midst of the storm. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.